The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We're up in the attic. It's beautiful up in this attic, regardless of what other people say. And we're attempting to do episode 90 in the attic. Wilbon, let us start close to home for us with the Washington Redskins, a group of investors, heavily invested people in companies like Nike and FedEx, are urging those companies to cut financial ties with the Washington Redskins unless they change their name. Do you think that this financial pressure will be brought upon Daniel Snyder to the point where he says, okay, let's change the name?
Yeah, Tony, for the first time, I heard this news this morning here in Washington, obviously, and screamed out loud, oh, and the response in my house was my wife saying, what are you screaming about? And I said, this is the first time you and I have been reporting this story, commenting on this story, discussing this all of our professional lives, all of mine, most of yours. I mean, this is 40 years for us in Washington, D.C., discussing the possibility. And I think you and I have been in the same camp, which has been, okay, that's probably what should happen, but it ain't gonna happen. Because there was no, Tony, the financial pressure was not brought to bear. But now, when you see the names of those companies and six and shareholders now, not the companies themselves, $600+ million worth of capital where people are saying, you know what, we're done with this now and you're going to be done with it too. This is the first time I've ever thought Snyder's done. He doesn't want to do this. Only one thing, not societal pressure, not cultural pressure, no pressure other than economic pressure will make him even consider it. And now I think he's done.
So I'm going to say a couple of things here that have to be said. One is that the name is indefensible. It is simply indefensible. But two is that the fans of this team, the black fans and the white fans of this team, and I've learned this and so have you over 40 years, they don't mean it in a derogatory way. They don't think of it as a slur. They love this particular team, but again, indefensible. Let's talk about the economics for a second. As long as the Washington Redskins are part of the NFL and they share in the television package, that's enough to make you whole and profitable without anything else. So the money we're talking about may be money at the margins. It may be signage. It may be stadium naming. It may be stuff inside the stadium. I don't know that the economic pressure alone will do it for Dan Snyder, because as you know, Mike, he likes to carry in his pocket a piece of paper from the Washington Post in 2016, a poll in which 90% of the respondents who identified themselves as Native Americans said the name's okay. And he's always talked about that. I think, and I will draw the line with Colin Kaepernick. I've said this on this program. If Roger Goodell wants Colin Kaepernick in the league, he's got to make it happen, him. He's got to go to a team and say, you sign him. And if he wants Dan Snyder to change his name, him, he's got to publicly and privately do it. And I'm waiting for that.
One, I don't believe that poll. I believe that poll is shoddy. The one that Snyder carries around the results, I believe, is trumped up and completely phony to the point of being fraudulent. So that's the poll. Now,
well, it's a Washington Post poll. He didn't do it himself.
Okay, but he's also had his own polls taken, and I don't believe those.
Yeah, but this is the Post. Right.
And not only that, Tony, you know what? The fact that certain people don't think that what they're saying about other people is derogatory, that doesn't fly. Because you know what? You can have a whole bunch of people saying, well, I didn't mean anything when I used the N-word.
That's bad.
And like you said, it's indefensible. So it's indefensible. Tony, economic
pressure. You know so many people who followed that team who believe that. I mean, just people around the country need
to know that the fans
of this, they do. Know, they just think
in greater Washington, in the DMV, as they like to call it for marketing purposes now, District, Maryland, Virginia, Redskin fans, people, no, they use it. But, Tony, a lot of people have just been calling it Washington. Even our neighbors, you know, we have people black, white, yellow, and brown who have just said, I'm calling it Washington. I'm done with this. Tony, this That's economic right. pressure, particularly if Nike and McDonald's and Adidas and the like, I guess Nike, I missed, I don't know if Adidas is one of them, but if those major companies sign off on this, not the shareholders, companies, Tony, Snyder's going to bend. He's going to bend. I know that television money rules the day, but we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, let's talk about the economics of it. First of all, if he did change the name and he sold out all of his stuff with the original branded name and then could sell new stuff, yes, he would make money. There's another factor here. The mayor of the District of Columbia, Muriel Bowser, has let it be known that if they want that stadium at RFK, they have got to change that name. Now, she didn't say that last year. She avoided that issue last year.
That's right.
Now, with everything going on in the country and in the capital of the United States of America, now there is political pressure as well as economic. So to me, that combination of what is essentially social pressure, this is the right time to do it. I, like you, think that this name could be changed, but I, like you, have seen this resistance for so many. Mike, I wrote a column over 30 years ago saying change the name. A lot of guys have done this.
I was reading stuff we wrote in the 80s. It's so far back. Okay, bottom line. Is the name going to change within the next 5 years? Is the name going to be something else of the Washington Football Club?
Again, I think it will, but I think Roger Goodell has to publicly and privately say, I speak for all the other owners, and we can't have this anymore. This is our change, right? Okay. That's what I think.
You put a twist on it that I wasn't ready to. It's interesting, Tony, what you're saying. I don't know if Goodell's going to do that. But I think the name, this is the first time I've ever thought the name is going to be something other in my lifetime than the Redskins.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In other NFL news, Tony, the league will reportedly reduce the preseason to 2 games. But Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, our old employer, says the players' union might seek further reductions to 1 or even no preseason games. What number makes the most sense to you?
Well, I mean, you know what I think. Call them preseason games. They're exhibition games. They're meaningless. They're stupid. All you can do is get hurt. There's no reason to play these things. Absolutely no reason. If you tell me you need it, something beyond practice to get your team ready, maybe I'll listen to that for a little while. But what I really think is that you're doing it for revenue. I don't think you really need to have these games at all. I think the greater focus for the NFL should be on the 16-game regular season, which we don't even think is going to be played.
Right.
Not all
right.
16. So stop. Just stop with this.
Yeah, I think we're going to agree again, Tony. There's no hollering and screaming at each other today so far. Because I agree with you completely. And, Tony, when I first heard this, I went right past the preseason and Maskey's always splendid reporting. I went right past that, and I thought, okay, if they're canceling these, is this a sign that the NFL for the first time is not being delusional? Because like the other sports acknowledge, we got a tough road here. We're going to try this. We don't know what we have here. We hear particularly Adam Silver say this all the time. What do we have? And there are college football coaches and even a couple of pro football coaches who have said privately or not for attribution, wow, I don't know if this can work. So now, Tony, you have the cancellation of these two games, half the preseason. And I'm thinking this is finally an acknowledgement that we don't know what we can do. We don't know if we can have a season. I know the NFL doesn't want to present it that way, but that's what I'm hearing.
That's right. Okay, you know, I mean, I'll just take the issue, the micro part of the issue for a second. You would say that a team like Tampa Bay with Tom Brady could use these exhibition games so that he could get integrated with his receivers. Because that's why he's out there now in a parking lot or wherever he is trying to get to know the receivers. But I would say to you, do you think Tampa Bay is going to risk a 43-year-old quarterback getting hurt in a dopey exhibition game? And do you think a 43-year-old quarterback with 47,000 rings is going out? No, they're not going out there. They're not going out there.
No,
it's not needed. Let me stay with football. This is a cool story, actually.
The Bears could use an exhibition game. We don't know who our quarterback is. We could use 7 or 8 exhibition games, as you call them.
But you're not going to have them.
No.
The Athletic is reporting that the NFL may require fans who want to attend games in person, to sign a waiver not holding the team responsible if they get the coronavirus. Wilbon, what does this story tell you?
It tells me what? This goes back to delusion. This goes back to that. What are we talking about? Fans in stands. You're going to make them sign waivers? Really? How many lawsuits would result anyway, even if they're frivolous, even if they're nonsensical? How many lawsuits would result from people, you know, from 75% of one Sunday's audience testing positive for the coronavirus? This is so insane. Is it a deterrent? Is it some marketing thing to get fans thinking they're going to be able to go to games sooner than we know will be the case? I don't even understand it. It's so nonsensical. It's dismissed. It's so stupid and tone deaf, Tony, that we're talking about fans at this point in early July. Maybe we'll get to the point Columbus Day where we're talking about that. But now, I'm sorry, am I missing something that you've caught on to?
Well, it tells me two things. It tells me that the NFL wants to have fans in the stands.
Of course they do.
And it tells me that they also want to protect their money. You and I may disagree on this, because if I own a team, I understand this. I'm going to have a series of protocols. I'm going to tell fans where they can sit, if it's in their regular seat or close to their regular seat. I'm going to tell them how long the waits are when they're online. I'm going to tell them what the food situation is. I'm going to tell them what the bathroom situation is. And if they're stupid enough to go to these ballparks and risk this sort of danger, I don't want to lose my money because of it. So I want to try to indemnify myself wherever possible. I don't know what would happen in court. You're right. 100 billion people would bring lawsuits. I don't know if you signed the waiver, if your lawsuit would be thrown out. But I think I understand why a team would want to do this, because it's so crazy to want to go to the game now.
But it is, Tony, but there stands between the owners of those football teams and the fans one important entity: individual states. States.
Yeah, I mean, how's it going to work?
So I don't think that football owners just get to say, come on down, like this is the Price is Right. No, the individual states, governors, and their staffs, and they have to say, wait a minute, what are you talking about here? This state may even be only open for business to a degree in this particular time.
So we probably differ on this too, because I think what has gotten us into all this trouble with the coronavirus is not having a national policy that anybody believes
right.
in.
Yes.
That allowing every state to do something. So if the NFL had a coherent policy, that would be better to me than each individual owner deciding, here's the policy in our joint.
That's right.
I don't know. So
the favorite phrase during the pandemic era, I don't know.
Let's
move to the NBA.
I don't know.
I've certainly said it enough. NBA, Tony, Austin Rivers of the Rockets telling Taylor Rooks of Bleacher Report, quote, Whoever wins the title should have an asterisk, but only for it being one of the toughest championships ever won. Close quote. That sentiment is being echoed by Giannis, Eric Spoelstra, Mike Malone, and even Adam Silver. Tone, do you think this year's NBA title will be seen as something lesser or greater than usual?
So I've thought about this, and I actually think it depends on how the title is won. If it's a faux, people might just say, well, it was no competition. It wasn't hard at all. I mean, to me, you don't know until it is played and played out. If it's a great final, it might be remembered as something greater. My inclination is to say it will be remembered as something lesser, but more than it being something lesser or greater, Mike, I think it's going to be remembered as something weirder, because I don't think they're going to get through it easily. I think there's going to be stops and starts, and to me, it's all hinges on the quality of the final. How about you?
Tony, I buy into some of that, but like Austin Rivers, I believe that winning this championship, presuming it's concluded and the champion is crowned, earned, I think it's going to be harder mentally, psychologically, emotionally. I think it is going to take greater discipline and mental toughness than any championship ever because of what is required. I mean, just the sacrifice that you have to make to be in there, the denial. I mean, just, I don't mean of indulgence. I mean of your own visitation with your family. You can't go home and be in your own bed. You cannot conduct your life as usual, and you are sacrificing everything. Everything is all in to win this championship. And that is why I think you see the most serious competitors in the league. Whether people think they have a chance or not, obviously LeBron and Anthony Davis, but Chris Paul and Giannis, I mean, these are professionals, man. These dudes ain't jiving around. They're willing to commit whatever is in them to pursue this championship. And for that, I applaud them, Tony. Standing ovation, not a golf clap. So I think an asterisk would be, as Giannis said, a star. You know, it's a gold star by the champion that wins this that can stay the course. And I'd have great admiration. Will it be different and therefore require by some measures an asterisk? Maybe. But, man, I would be so impressed with the team that comes out of this.
Yeah, that's very persuasive. I mean, I'll go with that. I still think, again, it depends on the quality of the finals.
That's a good point.
Because that's the lasting memory, the quality of finals. Yeah, but it might be a little bit. Look, here's what we know to be true. Let's go back to the original story in the Washington Redskins. In 1982, they won the Super Bowl in a strike-shortened season. It was only 9 regular season games. Do you think anybody in D.C. cares about
that?
They care about the ring. So the team that wins. Yeah. So
or the San Antonio,
what did we do,
won
25
a
minutes
in 1999
this?
In a 50-game shortened season. They don't remember. We're old. We remember.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's adjust the hat one more time. Put on the glasses, go to the pad, and do the happies. Happy 83rd birthday, Richard Petty. Arguably the best and most revered driver in the history of NASCAR. They don't call him the king for nothing. He has the most wins in the NASCAR Cup Series, 200. He is tied with Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Jimmy Johnson for the most NASCAR Cup Series championships, 7. But it is Petty's recent stance that makes him suddenly relevant. He is the owner of Bubba Wallace's car that shares the number 43 Petty made famous. And it was Petty who stood shoulder to shoulder with Bubba and hugged Bubba when that noose was found in Bubba's garage, calling it, quote, a despicable act. Richard Petty is no liberal, no progressive. In 2017, Petty said anyone who kneels during the national anthem should leave the country. And that may still be the way he feels. So when NASCAR supports banning the Confederate flag, and Petty supports the one black driver in the sport, that is walking the walk. That is creating change. Maybe we are all evolving day by day. And Mike, I know you want to talk about Petty, but you have another birthday to mention as well.
I do. Cheers, first of all, to Richard Petty, Tony, for everything you just said. And happy belated, by a day or so, 63rd birthday to my dear friend, Roy Green. Tony, Roy Green, in my way of thinking, is the most underrated player in the modern history of the NFL. The last guy that we knew of to play two ways. Roy Green, not happy 83rd, happy 63rd. He's a pretty young guy still in the history of the NFL. He played cornerback and made Pro Bowl. He played wide receiver and made Pro Bowl. Eagles, Cardinals, John Madden thought he was one of the handful of greatest players he'd ever seen. Roy Green, my friend Roy Green, belongs in the Hall of Fame. He does, Tony.
Happy anniversary, Warren Spahn and Juan Marichal. On this day 57 years ago, the Giants beat the Braves 1-0 in 16 innings. With both these Hall of Famers going the distance. At 42 years old, Spahn threw 201 pitches. Marichal, a kid at 25, threw 227 pitches to get the win. No manager today would allow a pitcher to get anywhere near that. The game ended on a solo homer by some guy named Willie Mays. Author Jim Kaplan wrote a book about this pitching duel called The Greatest Game Ever Pitched. These were the Giants of Mays, McCovey, and Cepeda. These were the Braves of Aaron and Matthews. To give you an idea how great these pitchers were, Spahn entered the game 11-3, hadn't walked anybody in over 18 innings. Marichal was 12-3, had no hit Houston 17 days earlier. Marichal finished his career 101 games above 500. Spahn finished his career 118 games above 500. No current pitcher is 100 games over. Spahn retired in 1965 with 363 wins, more than any other lefty. No pitcher since has as many wins. They were pitchers, Wilbon.
Tony, doesn't it strike you, neither one of us wants to say this because we'll sound like old men saying, get off my lawn. Doesn't it strike you that baseball isn't nearly this good anymore? You don't have guys who can do that. That's three games worth of pitches, 227 pitches. My father used to talk about Marichal and Spahn. And then when I got older, and particularly Marichal was still pitching, I just remember thinking, you know what? My old man was right. And now I'm thinking back those whatever fifth. I was a little kid, barely remembering these games, Tony. The games now, they're not that good. The pitchers now, they're not that good. Sorry, they're not. Get off my lawn.
Get off his lawn!
Get off my lawn. Get off
his lawn. Happy trails. Happy trails to the AAC for Connecticut. The Huskies are now officially back in the Big East where they belong. The University of Connecticut is a basketball school, and the Big East is a basketball conference. UConn will still play football, but will do so as an independent. They can play Villanova 10 times a year for all anybody cares. Almost all of UConn's glory came in the Big East under Jim Calhoun and Gino Auriemma. When Boston College greedily left the Big East for the ACC, an erosion began. Core schools like Syracuse and Pitt went to the ACC. UConn went to the American Athletic Conference. I'm a Big East guy, Wilbon, the way you're a Big Ten guy. I don't care about repatriating Virginia Tech or Miami or Louisville or West Virginia football schools. I like Creighton and DePaul and Marquette and Butler basketball schools. With UConn back, Butler won't feel so alone as the only secular school in the conference. And now it's time to bring back Syracuse, Pitt, and BC.
Yeah, BC can be banished because they started all this. They were like patient zero. At BC, I don't even care. Yeah. I covered the Big East, even though I'm a Big Ten guy. And all those schools you mentioned in the Midwest, they ought to go back to having our own sort of basketball conference in the Midwest, Tony. But for right now, I'm sure they're happy in places like Bristol,